Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times." Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown."
Well, thanks very much, Philip. It's great to be here this lunchtime, and a warm welcome to you. So, in or out, it's the big issue we're faced with over the next few weeks in the EU referendum. But over the next few weeks here, we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 4, because even compared to such a big decision for the UK and Europe, which will obviously affect millions of people, the reality is we're all faced with a much more important one. Mark's gospel introduces us to God's promised king, Jesus Christ. And King Jesus has a kingdom, one where evil, suffering, and sickness are destroyed. And in Mark 4, verses 1 to 20, which we just had read, the issue in view is the big question: who is in or out of Jesus' kingdom? You see, despite all the evidence in front of them that Jesus is God's king, who's bringing in a new and perfect kingdom, by chapter 4 in Mark's gospel, lots of people are rejecting him. If you just glance back a page 1004, at chapter 3, look at chapter 3, verse 6. The religious leaders and political elites are plotting to destroy him. The Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. And then 3, verse 21, his family think he's mad. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said he's out of his mind. 3, verse 22, the teachers of the law came down from Jerusalem and said, "He is possessed by Beelzebub, by the prince of demons, he's driving out demons." They're calling him demonic. And actually, just before our section, at the very end of chapter 3, we have a very visual description, if you like, of the situation. I'll just read verses 31 to 35 of chapter 3. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked around at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." See, Jesus' family, who think he's mad, are twice described as outside, in contrast to those who are around Jesus, sitting inside. And so we have this question, well, why are some rejecting him? Why are some outside and some inside? Who is in or out? Well, Jesus tells us a parable. So let's look at our first point. Jesus is in control of responses. Let me read to us again the beginning of that parable. 4 verse 1. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered round him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching he said, "Listen. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no roots. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Now imagine if this is all we had about this parable. So we didn't have the explanation that we get later in the verses, just this. Well, what would we make of this parable? A friend of mine is adamant that the hidden gem of radio broadcasting is the Farming Today podcast, and that we should all listen to it. Well, is Jesus giving us a feature for that show? Is this a lesson on seed growing best practice and crop yield optimization? It seems to sound a bit like it, doesn't it? He's saying seed that falls on paths and rocky soils and thorns, well, that doesn't grow well. Instead, sow your seed on good soil for massive yields. Why is he speaking to the crowd like this? Well, verses 10 to 12 give us the answer. And these are tricky verses, but they're significant. They explain to us why Jesus is speaking in parables, and they also help us to understand why people are rejecting King Jesus. And as I read these verses, see if you can notice the links that are in them to the end of chapter 3. So verse 10. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." It's the words "outside" and "around him" again. The same words from the end of chapter 3 occur again here, describing those rejecting Jesus as their king, in contrast with those accepting him. The issue on the table again in this parable is who is inside and who is outside the kingdom. And for those outside, Jesus has some sobering words. If you sat in a religious education lesson, you may hear parables described as something like simple stories that Jesus used to help people understand him. Well, certainly they give great teaching. But here, Jesus is saying, for those outside, he told them so that they won't perceive who he is, and so that they don't understand what he says, and so that they don't turn to him for forgiveness that he offers. I think this is a bit of a shock. And notice he says this by quoting Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah was a prophet in the Old Testament, and the words Jesus quotes are the words of God to Isaiah, declaring his response to his people who are rejecting him as king. And it's the same pattern here happening in Mark. For those who reject Jesus as king, parables act as a judgment to confirm them in their rejection. Listen to how one author commentating on these verses puts it. He says, Jesus' decision to hide his saving message in farming stories comes in response to people rejecting him. It is to the people who said, "We will not have you as our king," that Jesus replies in effect, "In that case, I won't let you understand my teaching." It's sobering, isn't it? So what are we to do with this? Well, first, this acts as a warning to us. It's striking that those outside are not just the seeming bad guys, the ones plotting his death, but also his family. Presumably they care greatly about him. But at this stage, at least, they won't accept him as king. They try to seize him and get him off the public scene because they think he's mad. And so they're outside his kingdom. Perhaps for some of us here today, we have great respect for Jesus, a real interest in him perhaps, but we don't want him to be the one who rules over our life, our king. Jesus' words here are a great warning. He will withhold understanding from those who persist in rejecting him. Yet Jesus has a word for those inside too. In verse 10, he's no longer speaking to the whole crowd, but actually, you may notice, it's to the 12 and others around him. And they get an explanation. Well, why? Verse 11, he told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you." It's because Jesus has given them the secret of the kingdom. How is it they understand and respond rightly? Because Jesus has given them understanding. And so I take it we're to be humbled by this. Because those who have accepted Jesus as king do so because they've been given the secret. Given understanding. A gift from Jesus. And the implication is there is no place for boasting in the Christian life. Rather, humble thanksgiving that Jesus brought us inside the kingdom. But finally, I think what we're meant to do with this is to be reassured. And I think this is the main reason we have these verses here in Mark's Gospel. You see, the context is people are rejecting Jesus as their king. And Mark wants us to understand this is not cause for panic. There's not a problem with Jesus or his kingdom. Rather, we can be reassured that Jesus himself is the one who has initiative over deciding who can understand and who is in confusion. So people rejecting Jesus happens all around us, doesn't it? I guess if we've tried to speak of the good news of Jesus with our friends or colleagues or family, we've no doubt found that there are some who seem not to understand. It might seem that the words appear to just bounce off. Or maybe it's like we've had a conversation with them and they've been listening to a completely different thing. And we can often think, well, what's going wrong? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with this message? But if we faithfully held out Jesus' words, well, whatever the response, we can have confidence that there is not a problem with Jesus. There's not a problem with his kingdom. It's on track. Jesus is in control, and he says, for some who stubbornly reject him, he will withhold understanding in judgment. He's in control of responses to himself and his kingdom. But there might be some of us here asking, well, okay, but if Jesus is in control then, does that mean I have no responsibility for my response to Jesus? You know, are we to be fatalistic and just wait for something to happen? A number of us here may remember an Australian Bible teacher called David Cook, who's been over and spoken at these talks a number of times in the past. And he says, when we're trying to work out how to respond to a passage in the Bible, it's helpful to ask ourselves, what is the impossible application? That is, what is the thing you can't possibly do when you look at the text and see what it is saying right in front of you? So to give an example, if my wife writes me a note at home and says, please put the bins out, the impossible application of that message is that I don't put the bins out. And so I want to suggest that absolving ourselves of responsibility for our response to Jesus is actually the impossible application of Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20. Let me explain. If you look at Mark chapter 4, Jesus gives only one instruction. He gives it a number of times, but he makes one stated command. Verse 3, listen. Verse 9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Just outside our verses for today, but still in the same section, verse 23, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And verse 24, consider carefully what you hear. See, what is the thing Jesus really wants us to do in response to his teaching? Listen to his words. Hear. He says it to everyone, those in the crowd who accept him, presumably, and those in the crowd who don't. And so if the instruction is to listen, well, surely the impossible application is to decide that if Jesus is in control of responses, well, I'll ignore him and absolve myself of responsibility to respond. Because that is not listening to Jesus. If we know Jesus is in control of who understands and who does not, we can be reassured his mission is on track, and so we can take seriously his call to listen. The response to knowing Jesus is in control is to listen to him. And this brings us on to our second point this lunchtime, which is our responsibility. Keep listening. Did you notice in verse 10 that those around Jesus asked Jesus about the parable? I take it the rest of the crowd didn't, but those inside took responsibility to understand and to listen to Jesus. Jesus is in control of who understands, but we all have responsibility to listen to him. And verses 13 to 20 make this clear to us. Here Jesus explains the parable. The farmer is sowing the word, Jesus' word. The soils are responses to the word. And so verse 15, some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. I guess it could be the person who shuts down the conversation about Jesus very quickly. Or the person who came to the talk, but afterwards, when you ask them about it, it appeared that they'd been in a different talk altogether, perhaps. For others, though, things initially look good. Verse 16, others like seed sown on rocky places hear the word and at once receive it with joy. The word's received with joy. This looks good. But verse 17, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So it could be, I guess, mockery, insults, rejection, because they follow Jesus. From family, perhaps, or at work, or friends. And under pressure, they say, no, not for me. I don't want this. And they give up. Then there's the thorny soil. Verse 18. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. The career progression is so all-consuming that there's no time for church, no time for Bible, no time for Jesus' word. Or maybe it's the focus on keeping that lifestyle going that dominates. Or the relationship with the person who rejects Jesus just develops deeper and deeper. And soon the words of Jesus take a back seat. And then they're no longer recalled. And then they're no longer considered. And then there's the final soil. Good soil. A soil which produces a huge yield of fruit. Verse 20, others like seed sown on good soil hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. I guess not many of us here are agriculturalists, but the idea of a yield from an investment is perhaps more familiar. Well, what about 30, 60, or 100 times yield? I was trying to think about how to illustrate this. I guess the average savings account gives maybe a 2% yield. So you put your £100 in and you get 102 back. Well, this is like your £1 investment that yields £100. It's huge. So what is different? Well, the difference is between those who hear Jesus' words and those who hear Jesus' words and accept them. So in all four examples, the person hears the word. Verse 15, as soon as they hear it. Verse 16, they hear the word. Verse 18, hear the word. Verse 20, hear the word. But only those described as good soil in verse 20 hear the word and accept it. And it's those who bear fruit. See, Jesus is saying that those inside his kingdom are those who hear and accept his words. In fact, all the other cases are, if you like, cases of not accepting his words, hearing but not listening. Either not listening at all, or stopping listening when Jesus' words are hard, or even when they challenge our desires in the world. Those inside keep on listening to and accepting Jesus' words. Well, the message is clear. Keep on listening. Don't panic if some reject Jesus. He's in control. His mission's on track. So listen to what he says and accept his words. And as I've thought about the implications of this, well, actually, it seems to impact everywhere. So if we're a Christian here this lunchtime, well, do we want to keep going as a Christian? Well, keep hearing and accepting Jesus' words. As we look at the parable, we see various ways in which it's possible to stop listening. And I think it gives us helpful warnings. Have I started to focus on the cares and the desires of this world such that I'm ignoring Jesus' words? Do I need to consciously, if you like, recalibrate and put Jesus' words back in the driving seat? Or do I need to perhaps turn away from something that I've been doing that is against Jesus' words? The implications keep going, though. To keep accepting Jesus' words, we, of course, need to keep hearing them. I guess this means listening needs to be a high priority, to make time for his word, to think about them. It may cause us to consider, is the church setting I'm in one where the Bible's taught and I'm going to hear Jesus' words? It may be for some of us we're in periods of particular pressure or suffering or finding life hard living for Jesus. Well, again, we want to make sure we keep listening to Jesus' words. And it may feel like a battle at times, a fight, to make sure we are, that we're hearing them, that we're able to accept them. Another implication, it challenges our attitude to Jesus' words. Will I accept them, even if it takes some wrestling, some asking? Will I accept what he says about things, even if it might cause my thinking to be changed? But as we do this, we see that those who keep listening to and accepting Jesus' words will bear much fruit. Do you want to be a fruitful Christian? Jesus says, keep listening to his words. Hear them, accept them. And what's my desire for those who don't know Jesus? It almost gets funny, doesn't it? You kind of know what the answer is going to be at this point, don't you? But if those who are inside Jesus' kingdom are those who go on hearing and accepting his words, well, surely I want to expose them to his words, that they too might hear and accept them, to bring his words to them or to bring them to hear his words. But perhaps you're here this lunchtime and you would not call yourself a Christian. Perhaps you're looking in on Christian things today. I hope you can see that Jesus' appeal to you is the same. Keep listening to his words. Mark puts this message in chapter 4 of his gospel. It's only a quarter of the way through. He's told us Jesus is God's king who can rescue us from sin to his eternal kingdom. And he wants us to see that his mission is not failing, even if many around us are rejecting Jesus. In fact, he wants us to see that it's not folly to be listening to Jesus' words, even if many around us do not. And so he says, pay attention to what I'm going to tell you next. This is what you need to listen to. And so he's going to go on in Mark's gospel to tell us more about Jesus' rescue mission, about our sin problem, about Jesus' kingdom and how we can join him there, what he's done to make it possible, and what it looks like to follow him. Will you keep listening? Will you accept Jesus' words? Because those who hear and accept his words are those who are inside his kingdom. Well, as we draw to a close, how do we keep listening? Well, wonderfully, it's not complicated. We can keep coming on a Tuesday, or we could read Mark's Gospel. Here's a copy here. It's an amazing eyewitness account of Jesus' life and words. There are copies like this at the back, just by the door on the exit. Please take one today as a gift and read it. It is worth just saying that when I talk about Jesus' words, that is not just the bits inside the speech marks, as it were, but it's all that is written in the Bible about Jesus, about his work and his life. And as you read this, then you are hearing Jesus' words. And why not read it like those who came to Jesus in verse 10, those who took responsibility, who came and asked for understanding. As you read it, ask Jesus to give you understanding. Don't head for the impossible application. Keep listening to Jesus' words. So in or out? We'll tick our ballot boxes on the 23rd of June, and there may be some significant changes in the UK and Europe. But far more importantly, will we vote with our ears in response to Jesus' words over and over again? Because those inside Jesus' kingdom are those who keep listening to and accepting Jesus' words. Let me pray for us. Father, we do thank you that we can know Jesus' mission is not failing, even when we see people reject him. And so help us, please, to keep listening to his words and accept them, that we might be inside his kingdom. Amen.